WOR.
Oh, man. Put AOC in a cage. That's my feeling about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez down under the border, screaming at the agents. Did you see some of them said that she was threatening them and they felt harassed by her, AOC, down there?
Well, yelling, she is the harassing
whining
type. Yeah.
Oh, totally. She was screaming out of her car, and they're drinking out of toilets. And they said, well, actually, no, that's not really true. And the toilet's attached to the sink, and that's just kind of standard issue equipment that we have in these.
But it's still the toilet.
It's the toilet. AOC, the most annoying person on the planet, leads off our big three this morning down there using the kids in the detention centers as props with which to attack Republicans and Trump, of course. Yeah, yeah, blah, blah. Also in the big three, well, it's official. Biden is sinking in the polls that came out after the debates, and he's dropping, and Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren are on the way up. Rounding out the big three, a terrible tragedy in Brooklyn. 29-year-old cyclist was killed, well, really run over by a cement truck. Now, I, as you know, cycle everywhere, and I have to tell you, Joan, cyclists are the worst. They pay no attention.
I'm glad you said that, the rules, because everybody is going to be saying, hey, drivers aren't paying attention.
Well, we don't know exactly what happened here and who's at fault yet. But I tell you, one, I got stopped by a policeman because I, just like all bicyclists, I, you know, it's a red light, but there's no cars coming. So I just sailed right through it because, you know, I'm telling you, bicyclists, they're like pedestrians. They go when they want to go. There's no car around, they go. Cop pulled me over and I got a $90 ticket.
Good.
So now I stop at all the crosswalks and I look around. No other biker is stopping. And people are walking in the pedestrian things. The bikes are weaving in and out of them. They're paying, and they're cutting off traffic and this, that, and the other thing. So, you know, if bikers don't obey the laws, they're going to put themselves at risk.
I can't tell you how many times I've opened my door or started to open the door of my car, and this stupid bicyclist, I'm parked at the curb, and this guy, boom, tooling right down. Fortunately, I saw them, but if, you know, the bad timing, you open a door, the guy's going to slam right into it.
I have a
they
friend.
They don't pay any attention.
I have a friend. She was getting out of a cab. The cab had parked by the curb. Yeah. She's getting out, and a cyclist thinks he can, like, dart right down between the curb and the taxi cab. She opens the thing. Guy plunges into the door.
Sure.
And what does he do? He sues her.
Oh.
He sued her.
Wow.
Well, did she have to pay? I'm sure the insurance covered it.
Yeah.
Gave that idiot some money.
Well, I'm not going to say her name, but when he found out who she was,
she had money.
That's why he sued. The name was quite recognizable, and he sued. So I think there was some kind of a settlement. But she did fight it. She did fight it because she said I was opening the door to get out. I had nothing to do with this guy careening on his bike into the car door.
But the dialogue here is going to be all poor bikers. You know, they've been put in danger by this traffic that doesn't obey the rules, but I think it is the other way around.
No, I you can't put it all. Look, drivers are so completely distracted now, right? The phone, you have screens in your car now that you're looking at, you know, all kinds of app Waze or whatever. I mean, look how many cars now come up with a pop-up screen. People are just completely distracted when they're behind the wheel. I think you have to put the fault on both sides, but the fact of the matter is drivers are, how many times do you see when you're driving down someone's staring at their phone or they're staring at that screen?
If you're a driver, you're paying attention to traffic. You know, you're looking for other vehicles,
right,
and the lights
and the
signs. The bicycle shouldn't be part of that component.
Well, but they are, because
they
there's bike lanes
be.
Anywhere.
Well,
if they
can be a part of the component, and they are, but they have to obey the traffic laws just as you would if you're
absolutely.
Behind the car, and they do not. I see them all the time go, and they, you know, they almost take out people in the crosswalks coming through. Now, the people walking are terrible too, because they walk when it says don't walk.
Right.
I screamed at somebody on my bike the other day, a pedestrian, because I had the green light, I was going through, and he just comes walking. I said, "Watch you! You're going to get clipped!" And they started yelling at me, and I bicycled really faster. I do have my bell out of the way.
And do they get out of your way?
Out of the way. And the worst though is when I ring the bell. I say, "You're in the bike lane!" Ding 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 ding. You're in the bike lane. But you know the worst though is when you ride across the Brooklyn Bridge. Because the tourists are all over that thing, and it's clearly marked bike lanes and pedestrian lanes.
Right.
And the tourists are in the middle of the bike lane, taking pictures, looking up at the bridge. They're just oblivious to the bikes rolling by. But I've got that bell. You hear that bell, folks, you want to get out of the way, because I don't stop for tourists.
Here comes Riedel.
I don't stop for any tourists. Boom, clip them, boom, boom, boom. So what's your feeling about the border? I think this is a bit of a stunt on the part of the Democrats to go down there.
Absolutely.
And hold up these kids as, oh, look at the evil, inhumane things that Trump and the Republicans are doing.
Well, the thing is, I mean, this has been an ongoing situation, and this is not unique to President Trump. This is a situation that has existed for a long time.
Under Obama.
Kids have been put into these cages and in detention centers because they come here illegally.
Exactly.
And I just heard a couple of days ago a soundbite from President Obama who says, parents shouldn't be bringing their kids into this country illegally.
Yes, exactly.
Or this is what's going to happen to them.
And all of those Democrats down there, they voted against the humanitarian funding that Trump has put together to alleviate the situation.
Well, AOC, I think, and her
she
crowd
voted against
did,
it.
Yeah, yeah, because it funded ICE. That's why.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing that bothered me. I feel sorry for these kids that came across illegally and, you know, or have separated from their parents, but we approved close to $2 billion in funding to take care of these kids.
Right.
What could we do with $2 billion for American children?
Yeah.
We're sending $2 billion down to the border to take care of these kids who have been brought here illegally.
Well, we have to disincentivize people from coming here.
Yeah.
That's why we need a wall, and that's why we have to have tough laws that say we're sending you back. If you come here, you are not going to get in, so don't bother to come. I actually think we've gotten a little bit loose in our asylum claims. People can claim, you know,
absolutely,
asylum. As soon as they make that claim, they're in.
And what happens is, as soon as they make the claim, then they have to be, they get a 90-day hearing. Some of them just disappear.
Of course.
You know, some of them just come in, they leave the kids and go. Kids are brought here unaccompanied. Mm-hmm. You know, the parents back in Guatemala or Honduras or wherever they're coming from will give their kids to some smuggler, bring them in, and hope that the United States will take care of them.
And this issue of separating the kids, the border police, they're not clear on if those kids are really the kids of these people.
That's
who
correct.
They're with, what's going on, is there any kind of kid trafficking going on? They don't know the history of these families and who belongs to whom. And maybe it's better for the kids to be separated from people who aren't their parents.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they've been given to sex traffickers in some cases.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, let's hear from AOC. We have a little dulcet tones of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
What we saw today was unconscionable. No child should ever be separated from their parents.
Oh, here's another one.
That we have to choose between people is a false notion. No child ever has to suffer for the benefit of another.
Take that, Riedel.
What's her proposal then? What is she proposing to alleviate the situation? All she's doing is going down there and grandstanding. What is her proposal? What is she putting forward? Basically, open borders.
Open borders.
Let them all come in, and they'll become Democrats, and they'll be dependent on the state, and then they'll vote for us.
And don't make them drink the toilet water.
They were drinking water out of the toilet, and that was them knowing a congressional visit was coming. This is CBP on their best behavior, telling people to drink out of the toilet.
Well, you know what's also behind this? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and that ilk of the Democratic Party, that hardcore left, they fundamentally do not like law enforcement officials. They see those border guys as a bunch of white guys who are mistreating people, and they have such antipathy towards any law enforcement agency, except one that's investigating Donald Trump.
What did she call ICE? I think she's called it an illegal agency, and they want to disband ICE. You imagine that?
It's ridiculous.
What would the borders be like without ICE?
Yeah, you know what? I say, hey, go for it, AOC, because the more you bang on about this, the more most Americans are going to be like, I'm voting for Trump, because if the Democratic Party wants to be identified with open borders, as it rapidly is becoming, that is a losing situation for the Democrats.
You know what it is, though? Nothing's clear about our immigration policy, so who do we let in, right? I mean, how desperate does someone have to be to where we say it's okay to come in, and when do we decide we're going to close the door? Just, you know, look, we are a nation of immigrants. Everybody came from somewhere else. And so do we prop up those governments in South America so people stop coming? That seemed to work for a while. The flow slowed down when
those
economies got better. People started going home. Remember that? There was that reverse cycle where people were saying,
but if they can't find
better,
if they can't find work here,
right,
and if we don't hand them free insurance and driver's licenses and make it easy for them to come in here illegally and exist.
No matter how good their economy is down there, they're still going to look this way. Sure. See, our economy is going to be better, so they're going to come.
Here's the hypocrisy. This, you know, she's down there screaming about these illegal immigrants that are being detained. Yet there's nothing being done about the homeless situation. These are American citizens sleeping on the street. She's worried about kids in cages that are, you know, being fed and being given water and have protection. Trump has started this campaign to deal with the homeless on America's streets. These are Americans.
We could have $2 billion going to fight homelessness.
Of course. We're going to give $2 billion to these kids who came illegally.
I think we should have a moratorium on immigration for a while here until we sort this whole thing out.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the answer is, but the current system isn't working.
Well, you can give us a call here all day, all morning long, 1-800-321-0710, 1-800-321-0710. What are your thoughts on AOC down there at the border? All right, when we get back, the Supreme Court is reviewing the Bridgegate case, and more speed cameras are on the way. Hey, Heart Radio Broadway is bringing you the best of Broadway 24/7, brought to you by Mercedes, the best or nothing. Now, this new station features music from all your favorite Broadway shows, plus podcasts that I host. There are three ways to enjoy the station. Visit iHeartRadioBroadway.com or search Broadway on the iHeartRadio app or stream the Broadway station on all smart speakers and devices. You can do what I do. Say, hey, Alexa, play iHeartRadio Broadway, and you hear all those great show tunes.
WOR.
All right, so why is it Happy Bobby Bonilla Day there, Joe? Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Right?
Bobby Bonilla on the 1st of July.
Yep.
For the next, I don't know how many years, will get $1.19 million. He's a former player for the New York Mets. They owed him $5.9 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, we'd like to not have to pay you now. Could you wait a while? So they made this deal. If he waited 10 years, they would pay him in $1 million installments.
Hmm. With interest?
Yes.
Right.
From 2011 to 2035. So I think it comes out to about $35 million he gets, or something.
So every
like that.
July 1st, he every gets a July, check for $1.1 million bucks.
You walk to the mailbox, July 1st, there's $1 million waiting for
Wow,
him.
Amazing.
And he hasn't played for the Mets in now almost 20 years.
What does he do? I guess you don't have to
do anything.
He
goes to the mailbox once a year.
That's it. That's all. All right, well, happy Bobby Bonilla Day. Every July 1st, $1.19 million.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, the brilliance of the Mets management. So.
Unbelievable.
All right, you people in New Jersey, explain to me why this Bridgegate thing goes on and on and on and on. As Simone says, they rearranged some cones out there. What was the big deal?
I think the big deal here is that Chris Christie knew about it, was involved somehow, and got away scot-free. But anyway, two people have been sentenced to prison.
Right.
His aides, Bridget Ann Kelly and Bill Baroni.
Mm-hmm.
But the Supreme Court has now agreed to hear an appeal. The argument that they are making is that what they did is they changed the lanes at the George Washington Bridge to screw up traffic in Fort Lee.
And it was kind of payback to get at the mayor.
The mayor would not endorse Christie.
Right.
And so they say, okay, well, we'll give you this. We're going to screw up traffic in your town. It went on for 4 days. So they were convicted of doing that. But what they are arguing now before the Supreme Court is that what they did was a political act. It wasn't a governmental function. This was a political move, mm-hmm. and they should not be punished for a political move.
Well, but wait a minute, though.
No. That's a
political move, and you can get away with deliberately screwing up the traffic?
Yes, that's what you do as a
because it's political?
Right. Again, and they point to a couple of other Supreme Court decisions that have said that they loosened the public conviction requirement. So, in other words, it's harder now to convict a public official.
Mm.
Look, we've seen all these guys get off.
Yeah, true. That's true.
So that's what they're arguing. So, and this could impact a lot of other of these crazy things that politicians do, you know, that are like public policy, but it's a political move.
Yeah. So if they get a pass on this one, then that means that to punish your political opponents,
you can screw
a bunch of citizens.
Yes, right.
And make them wait in traffic for 5 hours.
Right.
And that's okay. Are you okay with that?
I'm not, no. But
that's ridiculous.
No, I mean, and the Supreme Court, there was the other case of the governor in Virginia. He was getting gifts and kickbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
But they said, well, we can't convict him because there's no quid pro quo. We didn't. It's hard to prove that political favor he did was in exchange for those gifts.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's the screw citizens just and then the cover is politics. That doesn't seem right to me. So, but I think Christie knew all about this.
Yeah, everybody knows that he did. Mm-hmm. But he continues and says, "No, I didn't know about it until I read about it."
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Hey, more speed cameras are on the way now. You object to speed cameras, Joe? Why? Because the argument for speed cameras, 2,000 speed cameras are coming to New York City streets. You know, it's a way of keeping people from, if they know they're going to be picked up on the camera, they won't speed because they'll get ticketed.
Well, it's not fair to use that kind of technology because, you know, it's just a picture. You don't have the other circumstances. It may be necessary to speed up just a little bit. And at what
around schools?
Well, look,
there's a lot of these cameras are going to be around schools.
Well, yeah, but they're going to be on when schools are not in session.
Mm. Well, I don't know. Speed cameras.
I've been snagged by red light cameras.
Well, but were you running the red light when you shouldn't be?
Yes.
Well, what's the problem here? You were breaking the law.
Yeah, but nobody was around.
Well, you can't do that. You're just yelling at bikers because they're running the red lights, and you're screaming about bikers, but you and your car, you run the red light when no one's around?
There was no one there.
Well, you can't. That doesn't give you a pass.
Sure it does.
Just because there's nobody there, you can run the red light? What's wrong with you?
But how do you feel?
Do you not stop at a stop sign if no one's around?
Well, I kind of roll through them.
Oh, my God.
I got stopped. As a matter of fact, a cop pulled me over not too long ago for going through a stop sign.
You must be notorious in your town.
This was in New York City.
Oh.
So he pulls me over and says, "Is there a reason you didn't stop at the stop sign?"
And you said, "Hey, there's nobody around."
Well, I said, I was kind of in a hurry to get through the next intersection. I was just pulling into this spot. He goes, "All right, be careful."
So really? He let you go? Yeah. Wow. But so when you're out there, is this usually in New York City you do this? Or when you're in your hometown out in New Jersey and there are no cars around, you just sail right through the stop sign?
No, I kind of roll through stop signs in the middle of the morning.
Well, it's a stop sign. It's not a yield sign.
No, come on.
At early hours, I do that all the time. Especially at 2 in the morning.
Yeah. Natalie, are you running stops?
Sure, she's a roller.
Are you running red lights and stop signs out there in New Jersey?
I make a full and complete
You do
stop.
Not.
Somehow I have a feeling Natalie does.
I look both ways and then look again.
And then I slowly
proceed through the stop sign. I have a new driver in the house. I cannot say I roll through stop signs.
I can't believe how you guys just break the law so cavalierly. Yeah.
Oh, no. We've got this. The trip into work is like a science. I mean, lights I can run, which ones. I know where the red light cameras are.
I want a lot of cameras on Joe's trip to New York. The route that Joe takes, I want speed cameras every spot along the Joe Bartlett route
With an easy pass, they could basically give you a ticket when you arrive at your destination. You shouldn't be here by now. You've arrived too early. Take a speeding ticket.
All right, let's get the news now at 6:30 from Noam Bladen. Good morning, Noam.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Joe. Mayor de Blasio promising to step that enforcement up of dangerous drivers after that cyclist was killed. 28-year-old woman killed in Brooklyn, making her the 15th bicyclist to die in the city this year. De Blasio telling New York One this no longer can continue.
I understand there's so many people who are upset right now. They have every right to be. We have to do something more and better. And then over time, we're building a lot more bike lanes, and a lot more of them are protected for sure.
Governor Cuomo says President Trump says the most absurd things. He's responding after Trump accused Cuomo of using the attorney general's office to attack him. Trump also blasted New York's high taxes, but Cuomo says taxes are only high because of a limit on salt deductions imposed by the feds.
If he wants to look the person in the eye who raised taxes in New York, the president should look in the mirror and he will get his answer there.
Cuomo says he's worked to lower taxes in the state. News brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. With half of 2019 on the books, New York on track to its lowest homicide tally since the 1950s. Even as shootings actually have spiked 7% across the city. City recorded 135 homicides. That's as of June 30th. If the trend continues, city could see 272 by year's end. A bag of what appears to be human bones found at a Bergen County snack stand that overlooks the Hudson. Employees at the State Line Lookout Cafe in Alpine found the bag hanging on a door. When they arrived for work, they called police to determine the remains do seem to be human. New York Post says Gloria Vanderbilt left almost all of her estate to her youngest son, Anderson Cooper, and nothing to her estranged middle son, Chris. The will filed Monday in Manhattan says the recently deceased socialite fashion icon's eldest son, Stan, will get her Midtown pad, but the rest of it goes to the CNN host, who, by the way, did not expect to inherit his mother's fortune. He had told...
No, he came out and he said he wasn't getting his mother's money. Yeah. And he said it's fine with him because the money was a curse.
Does this seem like it's not a lot? $200 million is apparently what's in that will. Wouldn't you think from the Vanderbilts would be a whole lot more than that?
Well...
$200 million is a pretty good...
I take it.
Yeah, I mean...
Not complaining.
No, but just I thought the number would be a whole lot higher.
How many pairs of jeans did she leave behind?
You'd have to ask Anderson. And Nike is deciding not to release a new line of sneakers that feature the Betsy Ross flag because of concerns from Colin Kaepernick. Huh? The flag features 13 stars to represent the original 13 colonies. Wall Street Journal reports Kaepernick believed the shoes could be seen as offensive because the flag comes from an era of slavery. Nike had already shipped out these shoes, by the way, and now has asked the retailers to return them. Kaepernick, of course, is the face of Nike's Just Do It 30th anniversary campaign.
All right. Thank you, Noam Layden. Now, when we get back, Trump wants tanks at the 4th of July parade. Kind of a Russian Soviet Union era thing going on there. And are New York officials really harassing the president and his businesses? I think they are, actually. Be part of history and watch the entire world of music converge on Las Vegas for our iHeartRadio Music Festival. Two nights, one stage. Great performances that you've never seen before and you will never see again. Alicia Keys, Def Leppard, Heart, Tim McGraw, Zac Brown Band, and many more. September 20th and 21st at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage. Tickets start at just $75. Only $75, but they're selling fast. Get yours now at AXS.com. For all the info on the concert, go to 710WOR.com.
WOR.
Really working with a criminal this morning. Bartlett's bragging about how he can time the lights on his way to work, and if they're amber, he just sails right through them. Now, if the light is amber, if it goes from green to amber, doesn't that mean you're supposed to slow down rather than speed up because it's about to turn to red?
If you can safely stop, but you're okay if you are in the intersection before it turns red.
Right. You're making sure you're speeding to be there in the intersection.
You got to be in the intersection. If you enter the intersection while it's red, that's when you get the ticket. But if you're in the middle of it,
right, you can go through.
I don't think you don't get a ticket.
But you know the timing, so you're like you hit pedal to the metal, as they say, and whiz right through. So you make sure you're there.
Well, the other thing I'd like to do too is to when it's red, I know it's going to change. I know which one, how they're going to change. I know the cycle. When they're going to change to green. So you see the amber light on the other side. So you say, okay. And then once it goes away, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then it turns green.
It's a little game he plays. And, if you get caught, you get a $50 speeding ticket. He said, but yet every now and then, what's the big deal?
Well, that's New York. It could be worse. Could get a $95 parking ticket.
All right. Trump wants some tanks. We've got some new Sherman tanks, apparently, that he wants to show off. The 4th of July parade down in Washington. Now, he's wanted a military-style parade, I think, ever since he saw the Bastille Day parade in Paris with Emmanuel Macron in July 2017. He thought it'd be fun to have tanks and missiles and soldiers marching and all that kind of stuff.
Well, he wanted that actually last year, but the Washington, D.C. people said, no, it's too expensive because it's going to wreck the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, well, I'll figure out a way to get them there anyway.
So has he?
Yeah, oh yeah, they're coming.
They're coming, the new tanks.
Yeah.
We have the brand new Sherman tanks, so we have the brand new Abram tanks, and we have some incredible equipment, military equipment on display, brand new.
Have you ever seen tanks come down the street? They do chew up the asphalt.
That's right, they do. They do. Does he not care?
Well, no, I think what they'll do, they'll probably put them on like
on a
truck
flatbed
or something.
Yeah, they're not going to be, tanks are not going to be rolling in.
No, but those are pretty impressive machines, don't you think?
You know what? It doesn't bother me. I like to see our hardware that we taxpayers paid for on display.
Well,
also signals to the world, don't mess with the U.S.
That's what Russia and China do with their little military displays. But I think he's coming under fire from Democrats, of course.
Of course.
Because he's using the Pentagon and the military for political purposes.
Well, I mean, I don't have a problem with. I like to look at our hardware.
No, I mean, he just wants to honor the military on the 4th of July. There's nothing wrong with that.
Got a brand new tank? Let's show it off. Let's show the world our tanks.
And, you know, we should party.
We're going to have a great 4th of July in Washington, D.C. It'll be like no other. It'll be special. And I hope a lot of people come. And it's going to be about this country. And it's a salute to America.
And I'm going to be here and I'm going to say a few words, and we're going to have planes going overhead, the best fighter jets in the world, and other planes too. And we're going to have some tanks stationed outside.
Oh, it's going to be a good old time, Michael.
It is going to be reminiscent of those old Kremlin parades. Remember the Soviet? Yeah. Remember those Soviet guys? They were all like 80,000 years old, yep, at Brezhnev, and they go, which one was going to die next? And they all had those those bear hats on and fur coats because it was freezing there in Russia. And then the parades would come by with everybody, they're marching away. And
we used to take the pictures and say, how healthy was Brezhnev? Who's the next guy? The other guy next to him? Is he going to take over? Yeah.
Yeah, when's it going to happen? So there you go. Now, I think Trump is on to something here. He is accusing New York of harassing his businesses. And Letitia James, the attorney general, she ran, Joe, on a platform of investigating this president. And I think she's compromised to some extent.
I agree.
She thinks he's automatically guilty and we're going to go after him. She said that when she was running. And she's a law enforcement official who basically says, I have a target and it is Donald Trump.
And the other thing, he accuses Cuomo of weaponizing the attorney general to go
against
after him.
Yeah.
You want to hear what Cuomo says?
Let's hear what Cuomo says.
I don't have an attorney general. And I think, if anything, the fact that law enforcement is looking into his corporations, if he has nothing to hide, he has nothing to worry about.
By the way, Trump had a great little tweet. He said the Trump Foundation, it was forced to shut down, gave away 100% plus zero rent or expenses charged, and has been being sued by Cuomo in New York for years. Another part of the political witch hunt. And then he says, just in case anyone is interested, Clinton Foundation never even looked at.
Of course not. Yeah, I would not put it past this governor to weaponize things after people he does
Absolutely.
Not like. I mean, you know, we know this guy's a power mad, power hungry politician, Cuomo up there, and he likes to have all these levers at his disposal to grind up his enemies if he can.
Well, he certainly doesn't like President Trump.
First, nothing that man can say can surprise me or the people of this country. He says the most absurd things.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He just says what's on his mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like Letitia James very much.
Oh, no. She's radical.
Totally radical.
Man. Radical. She seems that like her one mission is to get Trump.
Right. Absolutely.
Here's the other thing they've done, too, with the attorney general's office. Now, Paul Manafort just got massacred by federal prosecutors. He's going to spend probably the rest of his life in jail for, bad financial moves.
Right. Nothing to do with Russian collusion, by the way,
which
is what the whole investigation was about in the first place.
Now, all of this happened. He was laundering some money from Ukraine. All right, so he got prosecuted, sent to jail. The New York State Attorney General is going to prosecute him on the state level for the same crimes.
Right. They just want to double whammy him.
Double whammy. I think the motivation is, just in case President Trump were to pardon
him, that's right,
they would have the state charges that would stick.
Right. So what we have, folks.
But again, it's all directed at Trump.
Absolutely. What we have, and this is the mentality of the hardcore left, it is not enough to defeat your ideological enemies. Those enemies must be punished.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do not hold your views and they are in the way of your progressive agenda. So punish them. That's the Stalinist mentality. Destroy, eliminate, get rid of people who disagree with you ideologically. Not enough to defeat them at the polls. Not enough to defeat them at the ballot. They must be ruined. Humiliated and ruined.
Very, very scary.
Definitely the mentality on the left. I mean, can you see if AOC gets any more power? Man, if she ever came after me, she'd put me in a re-education camp or something like that. She loves to throw Republicans in those cages down there at the border.
Oh, Republicans would be fine in the cages. They'd have to drink the toilet water. That'd be not a problem, no.
No, but I think Letitia James is on a one-woman mission to try to destroy the president of the United States. She hates Trump that much.
I don't think the Office of Attorney General should be politicized.
Should not be.
Although Eric Schneiderman, who was there before.
He did that.
He was the same thing. He went after Trump.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, Trump talked about that in his tweets. He said, until he got caught womanizing.
Well, the one who used that was Elliot Spitzer, was the first to do that when he really would target companies on Wall Street, which basically a shakedown operation.
Sure.
He said, I'm coming to get you, and then they'd have to settle. They'd have to settle any charges and pay him off and something like that. But he was using it as a weapon against corporations that he didn't like. So that's the left in this country. All right, when we come back now, Luis Alvarez, the first responder who died of cancer this week, he is getting a key to the city posthumously. That's coming up next. WOR. Morning, everybody. Lens off. Joe Bartlett is here with me. We were just talking about how New York state political officials like Governor Cuomo and Letitia James seem bent on going after the president, weaponizing the attorney general's office to go after him. Jamie in Vernon, New Jersey has some thoughts on that. Good morning to you, Jamie.
Good morning. Happy 4th of July.
Same to you.
The Democrats did a poll to find out the issues that they were concerned about, and 61% said the number one issue they were wanted was Trump out of office.
Yep.
Over all other issues.
Yep. So they'll stop at nothing to try to achieve that.
Absolutely.
And it seems to be deeply unfair.
Is there a reason? I mean, Trump out of office because they don't like him. They don't like his personality. It's not a policy thing. It's really personality.
Well, they don't like his policies because he's a Republican. They don't like low taxes.
Yeah,
they don't like his policies at the border and on immigration.
Well, fight him on that then.
Yeah, no, but also there is a visceral hatred of the man on the part of Democrats and liberals. They just cannot stand this guy. So Jamie's absolutely right that they will try to stop at nothing to get him out of office, which is why, although the calls for impeachment have kind of quieted down a little bit because they finally have woken up to the fact that it might backfire against them, and they can't get him out of the office anyway because the Senate's never going to vote to convict.
Not only that, I mean, what are you going to impeach him on? There's no Russian collusion.
I think they would just impeach him on the fact that they don't like his character, you know?
Well, you have to have high crimes and misdemeanors.
Well,
there's
got
to be something.
Right, you read some of these hysterical liberals like Richard Wolff. He used to be at Newsweek magazine, I think, and now he writes for The Guardian. He says that Trump is a totalitarian and should be impeached or removed from office because he has totalitarian instincts.
I don't know if it's totalitarianism. I think it's just that he's a business guy, and he's used to just one guy getting things done. You know, the boss saying this is the way we're going to do it. This is the way we're going to do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
you know, but he's not. You know, they think to read these liberals, you'd think that Trump is overturning all of our democratic institutions, which he's not doing.
No, he can't do that.
Of course, he can't do that. You know, he's not going to win every case at the Supreme Court.
He may
try. But the thing with Trump is, he often can express his frustrations by saying, yeah, you know, I wish I didn't have to deal with Congress on this.
Right.
He says that and then think, oh, well, he really wants to destroy Congress. It's not true. He's just like, yeah, I can't get this thing done because they're getting in my way, but doesn't do anything about it.
No,
he just vents.
He vents. He tells you what he's thinking, unlike most politicians. You're never quite sure what they're thinking. They give you this kind of very soft and well thought out comment.
Right.
But you really don't know their inner thoughts.
Well, that's why this whole notion of obstruction of justice. Yeah, I'm sure he said, fire the attorney general, fire this person.
Yeah.
But nobody went and did it.
Right.
You know, he was just venting. He was frustrated. And he did have
it's like you running around your house, you know, I need some money. I'm going to go rob a bank.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't arrest you for that.
No.
Conspiracy to rob a bank.
I know, just because you said it. But that's what the Democrats want. All right. A funeral will be held tomorrow for the former New York City police detective, Luis Alvarez, who was a leader in the fight for the September 11th. Victims compensation fund. He died Saturday of colorectal cancer. We were talking to John Field just yesterday about Detective Alvarez and all he did to try to get money for first responders. And Mayor de Blasio says the city will award Detective Alvarez a key to the city posthumously as a symbol of the profound respect and gratitude for his service and his sacrifice.
So you read about this guy, you really admire him. First of all, he gave his badge to Mitch McConnell.
And
the badge is when you know, that's something that's cherished when a member of the fire department or police department passes away. But he said, I want you to know that my time, this is a note he wrote with it. I want you to know that my time to leave this world is fast approaching. My goal and legacy in this world was to see the VCF, that's the Victims Compensation Fund bill, passed. Mm. And he also said, right before he died, that he has no regrets about what he did. That he said he was a member of the police department, and you had to go to 9/11. 9/11 happened. You responded.
That's
you
right.
Didn't think about whether it was good
or
what you should do. You just did it, and that's what they do. And he has no regrets. So, just a fantastic individual, and hopefully, he's the inspiration for this thing to get approved in the Senate.
Well, Mitch McConnell, once he accepted that badge there, I think, you know, Mitch McConnell's now got to be, he's got to deliver on his promise.
Yeah, he's one of those swamp politicians. You never
he'll
know.
He'll slip out of it somehow, you think?
Exactly. Well, I tried, but, what you know, I couldn't get it done.
Well, doing the best we can. Suppose very slowly here. Very quickly, look, here's a list of the best and worst run cities in the country.
Oh, right. Okay.
So the best run cities, now they have something in common. See if you can figure out what it is. Nampa, Idaho, Provo, Utah.
I can
Boise,
tell you right
Idaho.
Away before you even give it.
They're not New York.
Well, they're all probably Republican mayors.
No, they're all in states, Kentucky, New Mexico, Montana, that have low taxes.
Low taxes, yeah.
And the states are well run, so the cities are well run. The worst run cities, Cleveland, Ohio, Hartford,
really?
Connecticut, Flint, Michigan. You can't even drink the water there. Oakland, California, Detroit, Michigan, New York, New York. Thank you, Bill de Blasio. Chattanooga, Tennessee, San Francisco, California, which, by the way, that city is a mess. If you've ever been there, I mean, they're homeless people.
By the way, Cleveland.
Crawling all over the place.
I'm surprised because I go to Cleveland a lot.
How's the crime rate in Cleveland, though?
It's not that bad. I mean, overall, it's not a bad place.
Really?
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I wouldn't compare it to Flint, Michigan.
Well, okay. I don't know.
Is that up? That number one on the list, Cleveland?
Yeah, Cleveland's number one.
Whoa.
Washington, D.C. is there, too. That's another bad run city. So, all right, when we get back, Joe Biden is sinking in the polls. Can he recover? We'll ask ABC News political analyst Alex Castellanos. But first, let's get the news at 7 o'clock.